is up, Club Down Under. So, raise your hand if you know who I am. Hi, my friends that I know by name. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Virginia Anzengruber, and I host a podcast called Super Hungry Conversations with Not-So-Starving Artists. This has nothing to do with food, so sorry for any Food Network fans. Basically, the premise of the show is I interview working artists, so actors, musicians, filmmakers, painters, people who make their living working doing art, because there is, I think, a big misconception kind of like, you know, you're either A-list or you're like singing under a bridge. And there's such a happy like middle ground of just like so many brilliant artists who really just live and thrive daily working, hustling, and just continually pouring into their craft. So we are now into the second season of my podcast. Woo! Woo! Howard Deaning the hell out of this. Does anyone know who Howard Dean is? Are you guys too young? Sorry. A little bit of background on me. I am a Florida State graduate. I went to 1.5 games in 4 years. I cannot tell you who won or who we played, but we did good things with balls. So I moved to Los Angeles in 2010. That's where I live now. And I've done kind of a lot of stuff. Been, you know, an assistant to Bo Burnham, if you guys know who Bo Burnham is. I love that that was not for me. I've been a script coordinator on shows for MTV. You know, I've done stuff with reality shows on VH1, you know, and by that I mean I was a PA getting people coffee. But I started this podcast last year because I really wanted to take my weird ability to talk to people, like all 300 of you at once, and just, I don't know, use it to meet people that I like. So I have, you know, interviewed Brian McKnight. Do you guys know who Brian McKnight is? Thank you, older people in the crowd. For those Mystery Science Theater 3000 fans, I've also interviewed Trace Beaulieu, Crow T Robot. So you can check out that episode as well. And I'm done promoting my show. But we have a couple sponsors, so I'm going to do that really quick because we're Facebook Live and everything, and I want everyone to know. This gorgeous dress I'm wearing is from my clothing sponsor, LuLaRoe. So you can check them out. LuLaRoe, ZL, and Liz are actually my consultants, and you can find them on Facebook. But if you type in, when you add them, you search for them on Facebook because it's all done online, if you give them a promo code Jackson, you can get some discount on some cute clothes like this. So, guy in the front row, I know you're looking at this dress. You want that. This can be yours at a discount. So, I want to give a big shout out to them. They're big sponsors, and I love free clothes. So, thank you. We've been staying, the entire Super Hungry podcast team, which is, you know, shout out to my producer, Jonathan Tasman, in the back, running camera. We actually have my husband, sorry ladies, over here, Stephen Pell, on camera as well. The entire Super Hungry team, we've been staying at the Park Avenue Inn in downtown on Park Avenue. So when your parents come for Parents Weekend and they ask you, where can I stay? Where, like, you know, it can be quiet and beautiful, stay at the Park Avenue Inn. It's honestly gorgeous. I woke up there this morning and Snapchatted myself from my bed because I was like in heaven. I woke up and was just looking out at beautiful, like, guys, the Park Avenue Inn, please. Stay there, tell your parents. They'll think that you have, like, they'll be like, oh my God, I thought you guys just would send me to, like, the, you know, Holiday Inn or something. No, send them to the nice place because they'll think that you're not drinking as much as you are. So I would love to bring out the reason that you guys are here, because as much as I'm so glad that you all know me now, but you know him from Parks and Recreation. You know him from a current spot on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which we were out at dinner last night, and his episode was on while we were at dinner, and someone got to point it out to him while he was eating. So that was really fun. But he's on another period on Comedy Central, and he's also in the brand new Steven Soderbergh film, Logan Lucky. So check out that coming out soon as well. And in a brilliant, I'm very excited, it's a new indie film as well called Middleman that's at the Chicago Film Festival. I'm sure we'll talk about it, and I'll get that fully correct. But I'd love to bring out Jim O'Hare.
me off. Just go home. No, they just wanted to see me.
Yeah.
Okay, well, pick me up. I'll text you when I need a ride back. Okay, bye-bye. Pratt is like all over my ass. It's unbelievable. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much. I have to do it. Retta would kill me because Retta always says we have to remember these memories. So I have to. Okay. Yay! Yes! Wow. You guys are awesome. Okay, enough of me. So it's been great tonight.
Wait, but did you actually turn the video off? Is it taking video of your pocket right now? Okay, good,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Jim's not very good with technology, guys.
Oh, I'm not. Did you hear Nana? I have to come out and do it all over again.
Yeah, sorry. Go back behind the curtain.
Hey!
Sorry. Hey.
Oh, I have to sit down, my favorite thing.
These chairs are super comfortable.
What's in humidity here, people? Batman in humidity, not friends.
What did it feel like when you got off the plane right away?
It was.
Well, you were in Atlanta, so it wasn't too bad.
You know, he's just doing a Soderbergh film anyway. I had been in Atlanta for the past almost 3 weeks. And that humidity is, you know, it's also crazy.
Oh, it's like a sweaty butt crack all the time.
Yeah, but I think this is a sweatier butt crack because...
We got that on you, Georgia.
Yeah, you do. No, and it's awesome, but, and I'm from Chicago originally, so I know all
Chicago?
About...
I couldn't tell.
Chicago. Chicago. So I know all about humidity, but this is really intense.
My hands are sweating as I'm holding this mic right now. That's how humid it is. It's like...
You wouldn't believe what's happening in the crotch area right now. You wouldn't believe.
Crotchal.
Okay, I'll show you. If it's going to deny it, they're denying it. Oh, my God. No, not enough barf bags. Sorry.
So you and I met a few months ago. We both live in Los Angeles, and we met because a friend of mine, Alexander Rodriguez. Hey, Alexander, if you're watching the Facebook Live. He hosts a iHeartRadio show that I co-host sometimes, and Jim was going to be on, so I begged Alexander. I was literally like, you know I was on an episode, right? So you should have me on, because I'm clearly the obvious like choice for co-host so that we can bond, because your girl does background acting as well. So I have zero lines, and you'll have no idea what episode I was in, but... I was in an episode, so
it was
good.
It was Amy and then you in that episode. That's all I saw.
That was it.
God. Just the two of you.
That was my dream that you saw. That was it. Sorry.
What episode were you in?
No, Smallest Park.
Oh, Smallest Park.
Yeah, I was in Smallest Park. Yeah.
So
when you go home later and you're Netflixing it, I'm in the scene where he's in the women's studies class and they do the shot of him. Yeah. And you know, everyone on that show, I cannot speak highly enough of the crew, the producers, and it was just, as a background extra, having done a lot of other, that is not always the case. It's not always a thing where they treat you like you're kind of a person. I know that sounds weird, but they kind of treat you like, you know, just file along in, whatever. Not like that at all. Like such a warm.
Parks became the show that everybody wanted to work on, like crews. Wanting to be on our show, crew guys, actors, they knew it was the show that everybody was, you know, if you were in the hair and makeup chair, we said hi. I mean, I've been on shows where people don't speak to you. So it was a different experience. And we did 125 of them. And my favorite
thing
to say
is... That's amazing, but like, that's
I never
huge.
Heard a raised voice in 125 episodes. It was nothing but laughter from the morning in the hair and makeup until they were wiping it off. Amy had a dance party every lunch hour when they were refreshing the makeup. So it's incredibly unusual. Not that there aren't other great sets, but this was truly, truly an amazing set.
Yeah. You felt it even as just like a day person coming in, because it wasn't even like when you guys were on stage, it was like a location thing.
Yeah.
And it was still like everyone was so nice. And
had I known you were going to be there, I would have had them be me.
You would have. Yeah. No, it's fine.
Yeah. That's how I roll.
You weren't in that scene, Jim.
Oh.
They didn't want you.
Was that Pratt?
Yeah, it was Pratt
this
and Aubrey.
Speaking of which, and this is probably inappropriate, but I'm feeling Pratt hasn't had such good luck since Parks Wrapped. Could we just put our hands up and send out some energy to Chris Pratt? And
send out the secret.
Send out some good energy to our boy Pratt that something will come along. Maybe another fucking franchise. The man has three franchises, and I don't know if I should say this. I think there's a fourth that's about to be announced. Yeah, I really don't think I'm allowed.
I was gonna say my hold a beat. NDAs, hold a beat.
Yeah, but here's what I will also say: there is nobody who is more deserving and kinder and have a bigger heart than Chris Pratt. It doesn't exist.
Honestly, you know, I know that obviously I want to hear more about you, but I do actually have a tiny anecdote. I was a background extra that day, he made a point to literally at the end of the scene, because it was a classroom scene, there's a lot of us, they do it too where they do fun takes, so they did a fun run.
We do fun runs.
And he turned around and thanked all of us for being there and said, thank you so much for being a part of this scene. I really feel like it's going to be great. And he had mentioned something about being in Alaska with his brother. Yeah. So I took that moment because I'm a fan of his from Everwood. Way back. Everwood, anybody? No? God, everyone's so young. But I took a chance because I also have plans to go to Alaska. I want to go to Denali for a while. He sat and talked to me for 5 minutes about Alaska and all, just like the nicest human being. But I really, honestly,
But we were all like that. I would turn around and look at the extras and go, don't eyeball me! Because that's how I was with people.
Right. They need to know their place.
Everyone's different.
Everyone works differently.
Yeah, no. I mean, we had extras because it took place in a municipal building, supposedly. We had the same people walking through all the time because they're supposed to be, and they were just part of the cast. I mean, they were just part of our everyday
We were talking earlier, you said the stand-ins as well. They were just a part of the cast.
The stand-ins. Oh, my gosh. Brad, if they're listening, Brad, Donna, Miggy, and Hadley, they were part of us. It was the dream job for 7 seasons.
That's so great.
Yeah, it really was the dream.
So let's back it up a little bit to, before Parks, before even L.A., because you've been in L.A. for about, 20 years now?
22. You were not even born.
Aging you. So you got your start in Chicago, and you did a lot of... And it's funny because a lot of people don't really start out in gay porn. They end up in gay porn.
No, I insisted. Yeah, I got a lot of big offers for films and TV. I'm like, let's get down and dirty first.
So that's why you like the sweaty butt cracks. It all makes sense now.
Yeah.
So you started with improv and then in the sort of Second City, right? It was all Second City.
Yeah, Second City. But before that, I did. I went to school at Loyola in Chicago. I don't know if anybody is aware of that, but I didn't know what the hell I was doing or wanted to do. But I started working at the radio station there.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and so
were you a DJ or did you just do behind the scenes?
No, on air. Yeah. What was your LUW?
That was your radio voice?
That was my radio. Good morning.
Did you have what was your sign off tag?
Oh, bye. Yeah, I had none. No, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. All I knew is if you took it, they had to take you. If you signed up to have a shift, you got a shift. So there was no auditioning.
Were you prime time or were you like middle of the night?
Whenever. It could be whenever, yeah. Oh. So I did that for a while, and that seemed kind of interesting. I like doing the board, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So then after Loyola, I went to a place called the Midwest Broadcast Academy, and that's where I forget, I think it was a year course or something, and by the end you end up with a demo reel. Your demo reel, then you just send out all over the country, and some crazy man in Rensselaer, Indiana hired me, and it was the most grueling, ridiculous thing I've ever done, but such a great learning experience, because I learned people are crazy and also awesome and stupid and smart and all that kind of stuff. So that was a great experience. But I was working 60 to 70 hours a week for $120.
Yeah. For the whole week?
For the whole week.
But back in your day, that was probably a lot of money, right?
Yeah, well, I would bring the horse up and put the rein around the thing.
Was it in gold coins or was it just like in a satchel?
Yeah,
or?
And then I'd go up to the bar afterward and say, Kitty. And she'd come down and her... busty thing, but I don't know what words are for clothes. But
don't start a bit if you're not going to finish the
I don't
bit,
know
Jim.
What,
it's
I don't
a corset.
Know the names of that
it's a corset.
Stuff. A corset. She comes out in her school now. But it was such a small town, Rensselaer, Indiana. Our prize, we'd have games, people could win a prize. It was a 6-pack of Pepsi. But here's the crazy, these people would drive 30 freaking miles to get that 6-pack of Pepsi. But the owner was such a whore. that he took, because it was all donated, he'd take it home. So these poor people would drive 30 miles, 2 feet of snow, and I'd go, there ain't no Pepsi here. No, 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 you got to go to the store. Yeah, no, it was terrible. And he was crazy. He punched holes in the walls. It was crazy. But my sign-on, and at the time, I thought it was so cool. When I say it, I get that heat in your face out of embarrassment. That it was, good morning, Jim O'Hare, on the air in Rensselaer. No, it was sad. And when you really think about it, if you really listen, it doesn't even rhyme. It made no sense at all. But I thought, woo, look at me. So
how long that was the year course, and then?
I was there probably about a year and a half, and I got a very random phone call. The secretary said, some guy wants to talk to you off the air. I thought it was about the gay porn again.
Right.
And I still dabbled. So
just amateur.
Yeah. It's all
because you know when you do it professionally, you lose the love for it, right?
When you crave something, you crave it, and that's what it is. Now, I heard a groan. Thank you. I love when I can get you to groan. That's a good thing. No, but so some guy called and he said, "Hi, I work with the Second City, and I drive this area a lot, and I think you're funny or whatever. You should consider, coming and taking classes here and all that kind of stuff." So more time went on, and then I realized how ridiculous it was that I was still there, and other DJs were coming and going, and like there was some craziness, like with acid and stuff, and I didn't know what was this one DJ. He's like, "Here, take this, dude," and he opened up the little silver paper of something.
Sure, I don't do drugs.
Again, not my world. We don't know.
They're good
kids. You guys would never
know. They don't do drugs.
And they smoked these cigarettes that I don't think were real cigarettes. I don't think. There was a lot of skunks in that area, though, because it certainly smelled like it. So, and I was a good boy.
So wait, so. Did you take the acid or did you not?
No, I did not, but it got me scared, like, this is all crazy. And it was time to go. So I went to, I started the class as a Second City, and I always say I knew from the first time I got on that stage there, because you really trained on their stage where Belushi was and Aykroyd, it was the place. And it was, I got my first laugh. And I remember, it's just happened. I remember thinking, I have to do this the rest of my life. Not thinking I would financially be able to do it the rest of my life, but I would do this in some capacity for the rest of my life.
Right.
And here we are.
Yeah. Wow.
And from what I hear from the doctors, it'll be done in about 2 hours. Yeah, so I literally did it the rest of my life, yeah. Yeah.
So
I just got the MRI results. It'll be okay, I think. What is stage 4?
It's like a category 4.
Oh, it's like a category. But that's not bad, right?
No.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. Yeah, it seemed good. Yeah. I've never seen a doctor cry, though. But anyway, I think it'll be fine. I think everything's fine. I'm joking, of course.
Yeah, we've had some problems with
you joking
lately.
I've had some problems. I will share with you, not the stories, because it's too crazy. But I am incredibly sarcastic, and I can go blue in a heartbeat, blue material. And
people don't expect it from him because of his characters, right? They don't expect him to say dick jokes.
Sometimes they believe what I'm saying. And we've run into a couple things in the last 24 hours that have been a little uncomfortable. So believe
but
nothing.
But hilarious for me to watch as a bystander.
Yes, believe nothing I say. Yeah. And then you'll be safe.
That's good. So I'm glad that this will be forever as like an interview. That's just
story of my life. Yeah, it's all good.
So, but you were in like Second City for a while. You did like house teams and then you were in different, right? You did different groups and stuff.
No. I trained with them and then I went to Players Workshop at the Second City and that's where I met 5 other crazy people like myself. We started a comedy group called White Noise. We were just huge racists. but actually that would be in like, somebody would go, well, what kind of white noise? You know what white noise is?
Like from The Ring, guys.
Yeah, we thought we were being like creative and whatever. Oh, a bunch of racist white kids. Anyway, and only 2 of us were racist, so I mean, it was ridiculous. But again, I'm joking. The headline
tomorrow, the FSU, racist Jim O'Hare.
Jim O'Hare is 1 of 2 racist people in his comedy group. So we started a group together, and we really went from improv to scripted material. And it was really, I love scripted.
It was sketch, yeah?
It was totally sketch.
Totally sketch.
And we, for the time, we're talking, you know, around 89 or 90. Again, I don't know if anyone was born, but we were doing multimedia, which at the time was kind of unheard of. We'd run off stage and then we'd pop up on as cartoon characters, and then we'd run off from the screen into humans again. For the time, now you would think nothing of it, but at the time it was not done. It just right. wasn't done. So we ended up being this really successful comedy group in Chicago. And then one of our guys, Pat Cannon, wrote a show called Stumpy's Gang. And Stumpy's Gang...
That's what got you to L.A., right?
That's what got me to L.A. Well, we did it in Chicago, and it is, excuse my language, so fucked up. Sorry for those with bad ears or sensitive ears. It was about this janitor, I played that role, Frank Boobman, who worked in a genetics factory, and his job was to incinerate the mistakes. So, yes. So these little creatures, yeah. Well, I couldn't do it. So instead, I created, because I was raised by this crazy German mother who raised me on opera and everything, I created my own opera with these little mutants. And so we'd be singing and blood would be spewing from their mouths. I mean, it was craziness. And yeah, and at the end, I think I can give away the ending, one of the puppets was named Booger. And Booger, when you first meet Booger, Booger's like, probably this big, and it looks very much like a vagina. Well, by the end of the show, Booger is, anyway, and starts killing everything. As vaginas will.
I was literally going to say that.
Yeah, so anyway, so this show became a cult craziness in Chicago. We did the full run of it, and then we moved it to midnights because it was the perfect midnight show. I would come from another show I was doing. I'd pull up to the theater, and they'd be wrapped around the building in my costume. People were dressing like me. So, I was a little beanie on my head, and I ate, this is without kidding, 10 Twinkies every show. 10 Twinkies.
And you really had to eat.
And
you
as a thin
it,
man, just... that's tough to get down.
Right.
Interesting, quiet. And some nights we would do two shows. So that would be 20 Twinkies. Yeah. To this day, no Twinkies for Jimbo.
You were like the real-life Jenna Maroney when she had to eat all the pizza in
exactly.
the pizza Broadway show.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yes, it was crazy. But so that show, you know, actors always talk about, oh, I want to try L.A. one day, and maybe. That's the show we said, if there's anything crazy enough that could work in L.A., it would be this show. So we... in those days, it wasn't called crowdfunding. It was just called begging friends and family. And we raised enough money to bring it out to L.A. And our plan was 6 weeks. We were doing 6 weeks. It ran for almost 6 months. And it became the same thing in L.A. that it had done in Chicago. People lined up. We had a giant Twinkie you spun at the beginning to see if you got like a shirt or money off your ticket. Yeah, it was. And they would line up around the block.
What theater in L.A. did it run in?
Zephyr. On Melrose.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's such a great spot.
And those poor people, oh boy, when I look back, there was so much blood in the show that, and you made it with milk.
Oh.
So it didn't turn out so good by a couple months later. Yeah, yeah. No, we felt terrible. And we actually ended up going there and paying and mop. Anyway, but it was like people in the front row would wear the plastic. Because when Stumpy, and the thing is, Stumpy kind of talked like this, and he was the sweetest. He had one eye that was mesh clothes. I swear to you, you fell in love with these critters because the puppets were so alive that at the end, I end up killing myself and going into an incinerator, and Stumpy runs out of, Stumpy runs out of the place. And you're just like, thank God, Stumpy's still alive. I mean, it really, to this day, Pat Cannon, on my birthday, will call and sing happy birthday as Stumpy in that voice. Yeah.
And also creepy.
And creepy, yeah. That's my life. Isn't it all good? No, I'm joking. It's awesome. So that brought me out to L.A., and it was...
And then you just never left? Like you.
I said to all my friends, I'll be back. I'm going to go out to L.A. We're going to do this show for 6 weeks. Then I'm going to come back, and then maybe I'll do pilot season, because everybody talks about pilot season when you're an actor. And I said, maybe I'll go out and do that. And my friends all said later, we knew you were never coming back. Because the problem with L.A., and I don't mean problem, but it is where most of the work is. You know, that's it's changing true. Now. Things are changing. There's a lot going on in Atlanta and Chicago now.
New Orleans
has four
a bit,
different productions. You know? And, yeah. And yeah, so there's other stuff going on now. But in that day, I guess I made the decision, am I an actor or am I going to be something else and do acting as a fun
as
thing?
A hobby,
like
yeah.
when I said I got on stage and I knew I had to do this the rest of my life, which you can do.
Right.
But you can also have a full-time day job,
yeah.
you know, and do theater at night or whatever. So, you know, and I lucked out. My first season, I got a pilot, you know, the first season I was there. And we were all fired almost immediately. Jeff Foxworthy.
I was gonna
pilot.
Say, what was it?
Jeff Foxworthy.
Do you remember the name of it, or can you?
Jeff Foxworthy
oh,
show,
it?
I think.
Untitled.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeff Foxworthy pilot.
And Jeff did not like that. He kept going, what do you mean you just moved out here? I go, well, you know, like came out to do a show. He was kind of pissed
that you got it so fast.
I got it so fast. Oh. So then it turns out we all got fired because for reasons that had to, anyway. He didn't. Jeff never learned the lesson about put funny people around you and you will look good.
Right.
He didn't. He got worried that there was a lot of funny around him.
Well, now he's hosting a show with like fifth graders, so I think
yeah,
he
and he promotes Corral that has been shut down in Indiana. So yeah,
yeah, I think yeah. you're winning. It's fine.
Yeah,
you're
it's good. All fine. It's all fine. So, but then I also it was weird. The same day I booked that, I got the call that I booked a film, which you guys have heard of, you know, Stanley Kubrick and everybody.
Yeah.
Well, this film was called Ed. And it was with a monkey and Matt LeBlanc. And the monkey wasn't a real monkey. They had two little people in a... It was unbelievable. I kept thinking, there's got to be laws. I mean, I don't... Is this legal? But Friends had just taken off and it skyrocketed, so...
And they had a monkey on that show, so had, obviously
yeah, exactly.
that's going to be good for
it. But, you know, everybody was trying to get one of the cast members to do a film. So, and it was a big studio project, you know, there was money involved and stuff. And they built a stadium in Santa Clarita, from a baseball stadium, they built it. And it was a husband and wife team. Little people is the right term, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And they were in these monkey costumes, but the heads were animatronic, so they did blink and they did everything. But this man and woman had to run around the bases. It's 110 degrees in Santa Clarita,
right?
So after every two takes, they would run up with what looked like a blow dryer, but it would blow cold air in their mouth. So and I'm like, this seems wrong. Like, this doesn't seem right. And so the movie happens, you know, I shoot I'm having a great time. It's my first movie and I'm all excited. And then we go to the premiere. I'll never forget this. And has anyone seen it? It's called Ed. It's a kid's monkey farts and poops and throws it and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But we go to the premiere. Matt LeBlanc says to me, I think we got a winner. I'm thinking, did you just see what I saw? The monkey was farting and jumping. Like, his farts were so intense, he bounced off the seat.
So it was realistic.
It was very realistic. Yeah, needless to say, it did not do well. Yeah.
But they landed you the next gig? Or did it
No, and you know, that's when that happened. When you book two things that quickly, you're like, well, why haven't I been here forever? The work just falls at your feet. And then the months go by where the work isn't falling at your feet. And then 6 months go by. And then, yeah, so then it years of up and down. Some years that were amazing and some years that were not so amazing.
So a little bit of, you know, what I like to explore in the show is that, right? That sort of dynamic of ups versus downs, sort of good versus bad. And,
yeah.
and we were talking earlier with as big of an improv background as you have, Del Close, who is sort of one of the improv creators of sort of...
he's like the grand poobah.
Exactly. Like the way that you know, there's like four or five, yeah. you know, the main thing is the yes and. And basically what that is you're meeting the partner at whatever reality they've created. And then you say, all right, and now what? And now I'm going to add to this, basically. That's the premise, right? One of the main tenets of improv. And so, you know, we start talking and I really want to know, how do you yes and a failure, or something that theoretically you could perceive as a failure, or, you know, a movie that has, you know, animatronic monkeys that's not necessarily a winner. How do you take something like that and use it, you know, to, I don't know, turn it into something positive, you know?
You try. Sometimes it's tougher than other times. You know, it's such a crazy, crazy business because there's such crazy highs and then there's horrible lows. And of course, are there a lot of actors out? Is there anyone who's pursuing acting?
Hey, that's great. Yeah, that's great.
So you know what it is. There's roles that you knew you were right for that should have been yours and it doesn't happen. 99% of the time, it has nothing to do that you ever could have controlled. You nailed the audition, whatever. So you just have to be willing to accept that this is not an easy path. But I also say, if it is your passion, you have no choice. You have no choice.
It's
and again,
you
maybe
to
you're going
to
work a day job. Maybe you're going to wait tables. Maybe whatever the people do. And that it doesn't guarantee anything. I have friends who are so damn talented who can't get agents, you know, and that it's just rough. They might not have the right exact look they want or who knows, you know, it's a tough business. But for me, I always had a yes and because I did not want to fall back on anything else. And thank God it worked out because I'm pretty much an idiot. I don't know what the hell I'd be doing. Yeah. Again, well, gay porn. So what am I saying? I'd be back.
Fall back
now,
career.
Is 300 pounders still involved in gay porn? Can that be a thing? Is that a fetish thing? Okay, so I can still have that.
I like you. You seem to know things. We're gonna talk after the show. She seems to know stuff.
So apparently, I could have a career still doing that. No, but you just have to.
She said she'd watch it just now. Sorry.
You watch my game?
She said I'd watch it. Sorry, I needed to let everyone know that she said she'd watch it.
Wow, and I'm a hairy bastard too. Yeah. A bear. I'm a bear. Now they call me a silver bear.
Aren't you a daddy bear technically? Or
well,
no?
I'm 54.
Wait.
Total daddy
sorry,
bear.
Wait, what is it? One at a time. What is it? But wait, isn't he technically still a bear? Would it be a silver bear?
Silverback. Yeah. I'd be a twink, right? I'm a twink. Is that what it is?
I think silver bear is
the name
of. I came
out bigger than a twink. My God, my mother's still screaming. Please. She's dead. She's not screaming.
There you go. You did it.
I am going to hell. Yes. There's no doubt about that. No. But seriously, I did not have a good plan B. So it is very fortunate that it worked out because people always say, well, what would you have done? And I guess I would have gone perhaps into sales because I've always been a bit of a talker. So maybe that I could have done. I don't really know. I don't know. But there's so many disappointments in this business. But here's the other great thing about the business. Things can be so shitty. You're like, oh, my God, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. And then the phone rings. Hello? Really? Wow. And it all changes. And all of a sudden, you're guesting on this. You're guesting on that. Or you know, it can change. It's like LA is like one of the few places in the world where it can literally change with a phone call.
Yeah.
You know, your career can change with a phone call.
I mean, I haven't had any level of success like that, so I'm assuming. Yeah.
No, and you won't. But anyway, I'm sorry. I thought I was talking to Jonathan, the producer, because he'll have nothing. He'll have nothing in his life.
Yeah. He just had to say.
I just met Jonathan yesterday and I have been so mean to him, but it has been so much fun that I don't even know what to say. What other job can turn around like that? You know, if you're a CPA, I guess if you're looking for work, yeah, you get that call, you got work. That's great. But it's just so different. And also as, you know, there's so much competition in Los Angeles. If I go, I mean, thankfully now that it's not the case so much. If I audition now, it's down to the wire. Like they're not bringing me in with 30 other people. And that's just because I've been doing it a lot of years. A casting director's job is to know what you can do.
Right.
And they don't need to see me ahead of time. If they don't know that I can bring it at this point, then they're not doing their job.
Right.
You know? So it's all different now. But, and also because of Parks, I get a lot of offers to do stuff. which is nice too. Gay porn, yes. No, I actually, I don't get offered that. I insist on it. Yeah.
It's in your writer.
Yeah, in my writer. No, but it is weird. An experience like Parks is because, and I'm not saying I didn't write Parks. So when I brag about Parks, I'm not taking any credit for it. But I think it will go down as one of the all-time great shows. And I'm not, and I'm just, I really think that. Yeah.
I completely agree. Yeah.
So to be an actor, to be a part of, to be in that cast of an all-time great show.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's amazing. And it carries cachet with it. When I go into rooms to audition, it has power, you know, just because I think we'll always be right. I thought this, the recognizability, if that's the right word, would have died down by now. We've been
you
off the air for a year.
On the street earlier.
Yeah,
people were
still
catcalling you.
Crazy. Yeah. In a car? Oh, there were some people from a car yelling at me. Yeah, no, but it's the recognizability,
that's so awesome.
It's not gone away at all. If anything, it's more intense than ever, and it's because of Netflix and Hulu, and we're on a couple of different stations. So I think it's going to go on for many years, which is fine, because the show deserves it, you know.
Did you?
How many people saw the ending, the finale? Oh, you guys all saw it?
So good.
And not to give anything away for those who didn't, but I will say this. Finales are tough. Some of my favorite shows did not nail their finales, but I really feel like the writers nailed the finale on Parks.
It's stunning.
I really do.
I love, and you know, we were talking earlier, and I, just to bring it back to Parks, I loved that show because the way I viewed it, and it was funny because it was a different read than what you had, but I viewed it as basically just like seeing like a president. Basically, you know, like before, because the last scene, you know, in the finale, it's they have the Secret
Service.
Spoiler
alert.
Yeah. Spoiler alert for a show that's been off the air for a few years now. But
just 1 year, bitch.
God damn it. It is 2016.
Don't you bring that shit down on me.
Shut up.
Don't worry. We'll have makeup sex. Yeah.
Thanks. Is it because I cut my hair short? No, but, you know, I always read the finale as that, you know, she's president at the end because Ben is the one that's wearing the flag pin, and that's a first lady move.
I never thought of that. It's very smart.
They also make a mention earlier in the season, and I'm going to point to Amy because I know she likes the show just as much as I do. He says, I'd love to be first husband. And they always circle back, and I'm like, he ended up being first husband. And I love that because the character of Leslie Knope always knew she was going to be president.
Yeah.
And she made it happen. And that's why
I think so.
Like,
yeah.
That's why that show continues on, you know. But, you know, we were talking earlier, and obviously we're going to get into Parks, but, like, I want to know, what was the call like when you got the Parks offer? Because, you know, that obviously, I'm sure you probably remember. Like,
well, that was also weird because the word comes out, Amy Poehler is going to do a show for NBC. She was leaving SNL, just had was having the baby. And so, you know, you know that show is going to at least get a solid chance. Because, you know,
right.
I don't know how familiar you are. They do 100 and something pilots every season. If
about
10 of them make it, that's a big deal. So, but with Amy, you're like, well, this is Amy Poehler. You know, she's kind of beloved and all that kind of stuff. So they had all the guys audition for Ron Swanson. So I went in and auditioned for Ron Swanson. Yeah. Amy, Nick Offerman. Nick Offerman. I can play with my wood. I can. So I auditioned for Ron Swanson, and everybody did. And you find things out later. Nick was in their eyesight from day one. They knew Nick because of Megan. I don't know. Some will know it, some won't. Nick Offerman's wife is Megan Mullally, you know, from Will and Grace, and then she also played...
Tammy too.
Yeah. So, you know, through the years, Nick had met some of these people through because of Megan, all that kind of stuff. So, Nick is very much Ron Swanson. So they knew they loved his cadence when he spoke, and they loved Ron or Nick, you know. But so then what? So I auditioned, and here's what I always tell people. People say, oh, "Give me some advice about you know acting, whatever." What I always say is, never show up into a room unprepared. Because you never know who's in that room. And I said this before this happened, because you don't know. So I get the call to audition for Ron Swanson. And right away, I'm like, no, that'll never happen. because it's too big of a role for a no-name with an Amy Poehler pilot. This will not happen. But I want to do a damn good audition because I know I'm auditioning for the guys that created the American version of The Office.
Right.
So these are big players.
You don't pass that up.
Brain goes to, you know, if this show goes, they're going to need guest stars down the line. They're going to, you never know what they'll need.
Right.
So I just wanted to kill in the room doing my version of Ron Swanson. Now remember, at this point, none of us had seen Nick's version of Ron Swanson. So you just did what you thought when you saw the material. So I went in, I did it. A little, you know, BSing with them, and then that was that, and I leave. So 2 weeks later, my manager called and said they were wondering if you'd come in and read for a role of Jerry. And I said, okay, why wouldn't I? So I go back, and of course, you always think, oh, wouldn't it be nice if I get there and there's like nobody else there, and I'm the only one they're thinking about? Well, that bullshit never happens because you walk in the room and, of course, it's a, you know,
fat, bunch of other
fat,
silver
thin,
bears.
Tall, short, you know, everybody's there. And that's the nature of the biz. So that's fine. So I do it. And then weeks go by. So my manager calls and goes, listen, they want to bring you in to work on Parks. I go, Parks what? Because here's the thing. And this is tough to do. And it takes a while of doing it before you can do it. You have to let auditions go. Because if you obsess over every audition, it will ruin your life. You know, because I guarantee, and the actors in the room can they'll confirm this, you do it 1,000 times in your head before the audition, you do the audition, and you do it another 1,000 times after, when it means nothing, because you're doing it in your car, or, you know, so it can, but you get obsessed by it. So I had totally forgotten about it. And she said, well, they want to bring you in for a role of, they want to hire you. And I said, well, which role? Because I'm thinking, Nick, like, maybe Ron Swanson, then at that point, I don't know. So she said, Jerry. I said, okay, well, of course. So then I get a call from my agents who said, well, we want to clear something up with you. We have the feeling that they don't know what they're doing with this character, and you might feel like you're background, and you've been doing this too long to be a background actor. And I said, well, are they paying me guest star? She says, yeah. I go, then I'm a guest star. I'll go. And I also, I even said to them, these are the guys that created Kevin from The Office, you know what I mean? Phyllis from The Office,
yeah.
Stanley from The Office,
Meredith,
who were just background guys, you know, who they thought were funny. And as it turns out, Mike Schur said to them, Greg Daniels, one of them said, put O'Hare at a desk, it'll work. And that's what happened. So they put me there. And then, you know, the first season, we only did 6 episodes. And at the end, we were done with those 6, and we didn't know what was going to happen. And then they give me a call. I got a call, and they said, is Jim willing to go and do some improv stuff with Amy in the forest? Again, I'm thinking back to my gay porn days. So how many times can I go back to that?
I'm just waiting for you to say gay porn, because,
you know,
like
comedy
20
is,
times.
Comedy goes in threes, and I think I'm up to I'm up to like 5, though. So we should get a lube sponsor. But anyway, so... they needed some bumper stuff, like 30-second bumpers. So it was me and Amy, and they brought some kids in, and we were it's in one of the first episodes, and we just did some improv in the forest. And apparently, from what I hear later, that's when I made some fans that day, and they said he can keep up, because, you know, Amy Poehler, she's right. The queen of it.
Yeah.
And so
of the world, you mean? Sorry,
she's the queen of the world.
I know,
and she. It's nerve-wracking, because when they say to you, you're going to do improv with Amy Poehler, I'm like, are you kidding me? And I hadn't done improv in years, you know. But when two people click, it doesn't matter. It just, so it all came into place. And so that's when we knew I was going to be around for a while. And then in the season 2, I still hadn't been hired full-time, but by the 4th episode, they were giving me my own episode.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, they're giving me it. This is weird. And then they call me and say, we're in negotiations for you to be a full-time, blah, 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 blah. So,
that's
yeah.
So, awesome.
So they brought me and Retta on at the same time, who played Donna. Yeah. Retta's my girl. I love Retta. Yeah. Has Retta ever been here? She does stand-up. Has she been here?
Yeah.
She's awesome.
So just show her these photos later when you guys text and tell her, I did it too, girl.
Exactly. Hey, what is it, Jonathan? Hey, girl, hey. Hey, girl, hey! I don't know. Doesn't work for me.
That's your new tagline. Yeah. That's your new sign
So off. That's when it, and then that was it from there. We were both brought on as, you know, you do a table read every week, and I always remember sitting at the table read, and they said, oh, we have an announcement. And because my deal hadn't been closed. I didn't know everything yet. And Mike Sherry just goes, "We'd like to welcome Jim and Retta as series regulars to Parks and Recreation." Aww. Like, yeah! So yeah, awesome. We were so excited. Aww. And the one, because they always would dick around with us, you know, in a fun way. Like, you know, we didn't get our pictures up front in the credits until season 6, I believe, yeah. Because we had Rob Lowe and that really unattractive girl, Rashida. Yeah. Yeah, that poor thing. Mm-mm-mm. Thank God for surgery, because maybe she can have something done. I don't know. That little girl. No, please. Is she like one of the most pretty? She is as pretty at 5:30 in the morning in that makeup chair as she is on television. Aww. I mean, she's just, that's amazing. And she was all over me, you know.
Right,
that's how it was. And when we started season 6, we're doing a table read, and they said, "Oh, we have a new, we want to show you guys, we shot some stuff for this episode." So on the monitor, it just starts the opening credits. I'm like, "What's this?" And then all of a sudden, there's me and Retta. And it was like, yay! A big round of applause. And it was, that was awesome. That was a nice moment. Yeah,
What was it like when you found out you were getting your own episode? Like, what was that?
Well, I'm like, no, that's scary as hell. Are you kidding me? It's the episode where Jerry gets mugged in the park.
Where Jerry falls in a lake for a burrito. Let's be real.
Well,
hang on.
And that damn dog wanted a bite. Uh-uh. No. That burrito's mine, little Sebastian. Oh, Amy, no, not little Amy? Sebastian. What was my dog's name?
You printed his anus photos in the menu.
Yes.
Lord Shelton,
yeah.
God. Yeah. Amy doing her impression of Aziz making fun of you. And, oh, my God, it's so funny. That's the best.
What'd you do for a Klondike bar?
Kill your wife?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We all had our Aziz impression. Yeah,
it's so funny.
Amy does a great Aziz.
Here's
our favorite Aziz. And I can tell you, the cast, since we wrapped over a year ago, we still text constantly. We're whatever. So the other day we were texting pictures we had taken on and off of Aziz, because this is Aziz on set. Ready to go. He just slept constantly because the dude was doing these gigs at night.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, flipping around to be on set in the mornings, he was constantly, he can sleep anywhere.
That's funny.
That was, we kind of teased him about that. And they constantly teased me about having such a huge penis. I mean, we all had our thing.
Actually, that's a good segue because Jerry Gergich has the biggest penis in Parks and Rec.
Certainly.
But really, so that came about because
The writer was standing next to me at the urinal.
Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's when art and life come together. That's when everything comes together. Yeah, yeah.
What was the, like, I mean, because really there was that kind of, you know, and everybody kind of realizes when you're watching the series, that they sort of start making your life, like, amazing because just completely shitting all over Jerry all the time would kind of be horrible.
Yeah.
Your wife was played by Christie Brinkley.
Yeah.
Supermodel Christie Brinkley. Like, what was that like, being like, when they were like, "Oh yeah, so we're going to give you like these three gorgeous daughters. You've got the biggest penis in the world. You're going to live till 100. Like,
which, by the way, they shot it where the doctor goes, "That man has the smallest penis I have ever seen." I'm like, please don't do that. Come on. He's been through enough. But when they knew I was going to stick around for a while, they decided we can't have everything bad in this man's life, because why isn't he killing himself?
Right.
You know, he goes to work, they shit on him. You know, birds shit on him. He falls into creeks. I mean, terrible things happen to him. And so we can't do that. So they said, well, now let's give him the greatest home life. So the word comes out that they're going to look for a supermodel. I'm like, what? Okay. And then, you know, and beautiful kids and all that kind of stuff. So when Christy heard about it, what they do is they get their dream offer. So in their head, it was Christie Brinkley, but they put it out as, "We're looking for a supermodel to do the show." But then they gave her the official offer.
Right.
Never thinking she'd take it. But her daughter, Sailor, she said to her daughter something like, you know, "Oh, there's this show called Parks," and the girl goes, "Parks and Recreation?" She goes, yeah, they want me to do a role on it. "What is what?" Jerry's wife? Yes. "Mom, you have to do it." So that is why she did it. She did not. We were not on her radar at all.
Brinkley to thank for that.
Yeah, we were not on her radar. And then her daughter came out every time she would shoot an episode with us. Her daughter Sailor came out. You know, just because she was in love with the show. So they really made Jerry's life pretty awesome. But, you know, when it was being pitched, how they should handle it, Amy had a pitch that I thought was very funny, but then it went against what they were saying. They thought it would be Amy thought it would be funny. What if this, my wife, maybe at home I'm a tyrant, just a bastard. So what if she weighs like 100 pounds and she's a smoker who's just, oh, he's home. Oh, my God, he's home. He's home. You know, like, in other words, I'm this terrible, I take it all out at home. But it would not have played like, no, no, no. It all worked out fine. It all worked out fine.
I kind of am glad the way that
I don't
know if I could, like, be in a world where that breakfast song didn't exist. So.
Yes, I agree. Eggs, bacon, and toast.
It's your ringtone, isn't it?
Eggs, bacon, and toast. You can start your day the Gurgits way with eggs, bacon, and... Yes! Yes.
That's awesome that worked out.
And I can also tell you, little Sebastian, you know, our little pony. Yeah.
Diva?
Still alive and well, even though in the show he's dead. Yeah. That damn thing had a boner 90% of the time. And there's an episode where they pixelate it, and someone said, why did they have feel like they had to do that? I go, because there really was a horse boner. The damn thing was constantly excited. Or I don't know what goes on with horses, but it was crazy. It was crazy.
Well, he even in one episode, as he says, that is a huge horse erection.
Yes, and it was, and it was constant. It was constant. Yeah, it was crazy. But little Sebastian became such a big part of the show. You know, as far as... You know how, like, even Ron Swanson cried when little Sebastian
The only
died.
Time he's cried is like that and some one other time.
There was one other time he cried.
Salvatore died or something.
Yeah.
The barber.
The barber. Died. Yeah, his lovely barber. But yeah, so little Sebastian. And then I don't know if you guys saw, but after when we wrapped up the finale, the night it aired, we all went on Seth Meyers' show, and we did the whole hour, you know, and it was great, and it would talk about an emotional. It's on, you can find it on YouTube. But all we knew that was going to happen was we were going to be out there for an hour, and at the end we were going to sing "Bye Bye Little Sebastian," and it was like, and Pratt picked up the guitar, and that was what we were going to do. Well, during it, Amy likes to play a game called "Make a Toast" or something. I'm probably saying it wrong, but. Basically, they put all of our names in a glass and then pulled them out one at a time. And whoever you pulled out, you had to toast. Well, it got so damn emotional. Because Pratt got me, and he was so damn generous with what he said. And, oh, my God, it was like, this has to... there's so many emotions. It's not good. And then at the end, right before the commercial break, all we know now is at the end we're going to go into... Bye bye, little Sebastian. And Aubrey leans over. Adam was between us, and she goes, "Do you want to make out during the song?" Well, yeah. Yes. What? Because I always say, Aubrey is so smart. She knows it's not funny to make out with Pratt or Adam or, you know,
right.
Get the fat old guy. That's funny. But here's my thing. So I was getting kind of nervous, like, what are we going to do exactly? And, you know, and they're giving Pratt the guitar because he's going to be, and no one knows this. The only one who knows is Adam because he happened to be between us when we were talking about it. And then, so, when you're sitting around during shooting and stuff, Rob Lowe, you guys know who Rob Lowe is. Yeah. Well, Rob Lowe, his career has been very different than mine. He's made out with everybody. I have not. That is not the career I've had. So he was telling me once, it's really all up to the woman. You do what she does. So if you approach and she were to open her mouth a little, you then can open your mouth. Basically, she's calling the shots. Well, within 2 seconds, Aubrey's tongue was down my throat. And I'm like, bitch, let's do this. And if you watch it, it's on YouTube. We are going at it. Yeah.
I'll post that video clip when I post the episode so you guys will be able to see it. So
yeah.
Don't
but
worry.
The best part of the clip, it's not even us making out, it's when the other cast members realize what's happening. It is, Retta goes, oh, I can't. She can't look. Pratt is just playing. He doesn't, we're behind Pratt. So he don't know what the hell's. He's like, why are we getting all these laughs? We're singing Bye Bye Little Sebastian. Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, that's
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome. That was a great time.
A Burning Parks question I've always had for just, and I don't know if you may not know this answer, so if you don't, it's totally fine. But they were so good at like planting seeds in like season one that they would like reap in like season seven.
Sure.
So one question I've always had, and I'm sure everyone here probably has a similar, which writer, if it was any of the writers, who decided in like season two to prep the joke for Genuine to sing My Pony for Lil Sebastian's funeral? Because I know that that was one, that's got to be somebody being like, we got to do this. We got to do this.
Yeah.
Like, because that was one of the greatest like payoffs ever. Okay.
You're asking that question to the man who had no fucking idea who Genuine was.
At all?
I wouldn't know him if he was sitting here now. No, and there's nothing against him. I don't know that.
That's
not Barry Manilow. Come on. It's not Air Supply. What are we talking? No, I did not know who he was. Retta, of course, was all excited.
That's so funny.
Aziz was all excited. They were all excited. I'm like, who? What is this? What is this we're doing? No, so I have no idea. My guess is it sounds like an Alan Yang bit, or maybe a Harris Whittles, or that'd be my guess. Yeah. But I don't know.
Alan Yang, Emmy winner Alan Yang.
Alan Yang just won with Aziz for Master of None.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we lost Harris last year.
Very sad.
Very, very sad. Addiction that just.
He was
got the best of him.
Extremely talented. He was so funny.
Well, it was terrible last year. Not terrible. It was wonderful, but terrible because we were at the Emmys last year, and not this year, the ones last year. And we're all sitting there, and they do the in memoriam, and we just didn't think they'd be putting up his picture. So if there had been a camera on us, it was just this row of, because it just like, fuck. Yeah, that happened.
You guys are such a family.
Yeah, yeah. And Harris was, I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, but you should look up his work. Harris Whittles,
hilarious.
Genius.
He was one of the animal control. He played Harris. And,
yeah, he played one of the animal, the little animal control guy.
But he's a brilliant comedian as well.
Comedian, writer. He wrote the book, Humble Brags.
Yeah,
Humble Brag was him. Just a genius. Just heartbreaking. But yeah, but it was, so I don't know who did that.
That's a burning question I've had. I'll get all of you eventually. And
you know, who's been a big fan of us for years was Questlove. And so Quest came in, and him I did know, because we had done Fallon and all that kind of stuff. But Questlove came in as Donna's brother at the wedding. Yeah. Yeah.
Throws the microwave.
I
didn't think I'd remember.
Yeah, that was great.
So I don't want to go too heavy on parks because we're going to do Q&A with you guys, and I'm sure you all have your own parks questions. So I got some other things to talk about. You've been killing it lately, though. Another Period. You were so funny on that one. And just like, has anybody seen Another Period?
How dare you? I've been very blessed. It's been very busy. Since Parks ended, I've mostly been doing film stuff and some television stuff. Those kind of things
offers. That was awesome.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah, I did two of those.
Which you might come back for that, yeah?
That'll happen down the road.
All right.
I just finished a Steven Soderbergh film in Atlanta just 2 days ago.
Logan Lucky. It'll be out.
With Channing Tatum and Adam Driver. And
I did want to ask you a question about my second husband, Channing Tatum.
Yes, he talks about you the whole time.
Yes. Yeah. How is it working with him? I mean, because he bounces back. He seems to be able to bounce back from comedy to serious. And
well,
like
first
that.
Of all, he's Chan to me. But anyway, so when you say Channing, I don't know who you're speaking of.
Oh, sorry.
Chan, he's awesome. And what was great, he and Pratt have worked together, and they're kind of the same person. And they both have their wives and kids now, and so they bonded. So it was great to have that connection. Because, you know, you start a new project, and so your nerves are... It's funny, because even Hillary Swank was telling me, Hill was telling me that Hill Swa, as I call her, Hill Swa was telling no, I don't call her that. But Hill Swa was telling me that she's still nervous first day. I mean, she is an Oscar-winning actress who the first day, she goes, oh, my stomach's in knots. It's just something that will never go away, I think.
Yeah.
So my first day was great, though, because it was me and Chan, and he is so kind, and we started talking about Pratt right away. So we immediately had something to bond over.
Right.
And Soderbergh shoots with natural lighting, which is a game changer. There's no resetting for lights. There's no turns around. it was an incredible experience.
Which, like, for if you guys haven't been on any like sets, when they do turnarounds, it norm like the majority of your day is not actually rolling a camera.
No,
unfortunately,
that's the least of your day.
It's like resetting. You do one coverage, you turn back around. So to do natural light means that your day was like 3 hours.
It would
be.
We do a scene. I told the first day we had Chan and I had a 3.5-page scene. Now normally that could be a full day, a 3.5-page scene. And 3 hours later, I was back in the van heading back to the hotel. Yeah. So, that's which gave me some more gym time. And I like that. Yeah. I like that. No, but it was crazy. I've never shot like that before. It must be the wave of the future because if he's doing it, why isn't everybody?
That's really awesome.
Yeah. It was great. And so, he was amazing. I don't know if you guys know Soderbergh, but look him up. He's done some of your favorite films, I promise. And he was awesome.
I know you have like an NDA, so you can't really tell me anything about the film or anything, but do you know when it's coming out?
I don't even know that. All I know is, and the only reason I tell who's in it is because it's on IMDb.
But that is true, and I think it was on Deadline, so you're good.
Yeah, so, but I've never had to sign so many non-disclosure agreements in my life, because you always sign them for certain things, right. You know, just to keep, I signed them before I got to Atlanta, I signed them when I got to Atlanta, I'm like, man, they're keeping this on the QT. So I don't even know what I can say about it other than on IMDb. It says that it's a heist film that takes place at NASCAR.
Excellent.
So that's what I can share about
IMDb's
that.
IMDb's on the internet, you guys.
Yeah.
So just IMDb, check it out on
Internet. Internet Movie Database. Yeah, yeah. But Channing was so thrilled to get to work with me. And I'm sorry, Chan. And I don't know. But it was a blast. It was great.
That's so awesome. I'm really excited for
it. Yeah, it was fun.
So one of the other kind of parts of the podcast that I really like to touch on is kind of drawing inspiration from obviously people that I look up to because I started a podcast just so I could have, you know, a reason to just hang out with you for a couple of days. You know, that's fine. But I really want to know what kind of advice you might have to lovely people like are in the audience right now who are studying to, you know, some of them probably become artists, actors, musicians.
Yeah.
What kind of advice could you give to them in terms of just like, I don't know, kind of keeping the faith, if that's a thing?
There's a lot of that in it. It's a lot of it's keeping the faith. But if there's something like, if it's in your gut, if this is what you have to do, you have no choice.
Right.
And you'll have parents telling you, well, you need to have a backup. And there's nothing wrong with a backup. Backup plan, I always tell people, don't major in theater. Minor in theater, major in something that when you business. Do have to get a day job to pay the bills, you can say, listen, I have this degree. But you can never, if it's in your gut, you can never not do it because you're just doing a huge disservice to yourself. And yet, some people say, well, I don't want to have a plan B because it's going to work out. And hopefully that's the case. But it doesn't always work out. But like any business, it doesn't always work out. So I don't know. I mean, there's lawyers who work for big firms and lawyers who work for shitty little firms. So I don't know. But if you have a passion for it, like it's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
I'm happiest when I'm like when we did Parks, we shot single camera. So it meant there were days you might not work. And we get this thing called DOOD, day out of days. And if it showed like I was off on Thursday, I'd be like, oh, fuck. I'd rather be there.
Right.
That's a passion. That means you love what you're doing. I love being on a soundstage. It wasn't a day went by that I didn't look up and say, thank you, God, you know, whether you believe or not. But every day. Because to be a working actor, you've broken the odds.
Right.
And then to be on a show like Parks, you really crush the odds. It's the lottery. I don't play the lottery. I go, I won. I won the lottery. Yeah. So I don't need to grab a ticket on Saturday because Parks was my lottery.
That's so awesome. And it's given you visibility to kind of have more star roles too. So I really want to talk about Middleman, which you're in the middle of the fest circuit, right?
As we speak, it's being shown right now in Edmonton at their festival. It's opening their festival. Yeah.
That's awesome. And then next week you're going to be in Chicago?
No, next week after, not this coming weekend, I'll be here. Then the next week, Austin, then Chicago or something or... I don't know. We're going. What happened was I did a friend.
By here, you mean L.A. Sorry.
I keep saying here, L.A. Again. I mean
sorry,
here.
Guys,
yeah,
he's leaving tomorrow.
But this goes back to my comedy group. We are still, there were six of us. We're still tight to this day.
Oh,
one of the guys became a big ad exec and he wrote a film with me as the lead. Well, it sat in a drawer because who cared? We didn't have any power. And then Parks happens And we had some power because I had some visibility. So he put it out there again, and he got a call from producers who said, if you can get O'Hare to attach, we'll do it. And we shot this film last year, last summer, in the desert. It was the shoot from hell. It was 100-something degrees every day. Again, fat men in heat. No, 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 no. So there's me. And do you guys, are there any Walking Dead fans? Okay, The Walking Dead. So you, the guy who plays Eugene, Josh McDermott, he's in it. And then the guy who played Gareth, who ran the Terminus, and then he ate people, Andrew J. West is in it. And Andrew J. West is so brilliant in this film that it scared me so bad. It upped my game. And what's different about this film, which I thought I needed to do, after 7 years as Jerry Gergich, Gary, Larry, Terry, Barry, Mary, whatever the hell I was, after all those years, you know, Jerry's the sweetest man alive. You know, he's just a sweet guy. You have to say to Hollywood, hey, I can be a dick too. Right. You know, I can, you know, do all that. And so it's a very, very dark film. It's funny, but it's dark. It's a bloodbath by the end. And we shot in the desert. And there was one day, I always tell the story to family and stuff, because we were one of the kind of characters in the show was a 1953 Oldsmobile. So you can, I don't know if you can picture it, but it's an old car, no air conditioning or anything. So me in the front seat with Andy, and then behind us we have the cameraman, the DP, and the director with the windows rolled up for sound. So I really, one day, I it went through my mind with all seriousness, I think I'm going to die today.
Smelling someone else's breath.
I think this is it. I think, and I was totally okay with it. Like, they'll say, you know, that thing where they say he died doing what he loved.
Don't they say you start to not feel things right before death anyway?
So yeah,
probably made peace with it.
But it was like, that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. But and we shot it down and dirty. I mean, we, you know,
we kickstarted it, right?
We kickstarted. We got $150,000 on Kickstarter, and then the producers had money. And so, you know, it was still low budget. The nice part is it looks like a multi-million dollar film. So we finally finished the film. And I mean, I'm talking like we were, you know, changing clothes, opening a door in the desert to change our clothes. We did not have fancy trailers or stuff we're kind of used to, you know, after all these years. But the script was so great that these actors came on board, Josh and Andrew and Ann Dudek, for those who watched House or Mad Men, she was on there. She played my love interest. That poor girl was stuck under me for 3 hours one night. Oh, my God. It was a love scene thing, and oh, God bless her. Yeah, yeah. She... It's different, very different, very different. It's different than gay porn.
That was a callback.
Yeah, that was a callback. No, but it was, so we put our heart and soul into this film. So we premiered at the Seattle Film Festival this summer, and I was shooting in Chicago, but I needed to be there. So I was flying from Chicago to Seattle, back to Chicago, back to Seattle. So the last time I fly back to Seattle, I get a text from the director, and he goes, I think we won. And I go, won what? Like, we never discussed winning anything. Yeah. We just couldn't believe we got this film made and it's out there. Yeah. And he texted back. He goes, I don't know, but people seem happy for us. So I get to the hotel. We won the whole damn thing. We won the grand jury prize at the Seattle Film Festival for New Cinema. Yeah. So... Yeah, so since then, we've been at the Portland, we opened the Portland, because once you win, all of a sudden everybody wants you.
Right.
You know, it like changed the whole landscape of what was going to happen with this film. So it, and I always say, if you don't like me, you're not going to like this film, because there's only three scenes I'm not in. So it's very Jim O'Hare centric, but it's not the Jim O'Hare that you've ever seen. It's very dark.
How was that though? Because that, I mean, that's
it's
quite
awesome.
A change to go to the main, you know, feature too. Like it's a film, so it's, I mean, and then you're the main.
Yeah, well, it's frightening because I don't want to ruin his film, number one. You know, I don't want to be the one, like, to be, when the reviews come out, this film would have been great, but O'Hare sucks. I mean, that would suck. I had that fear, and Ned, one of my best friends, you know, from my comedy group, wrote it, and he took 6 months off of work to shoot this thing. Wow. I mean, it was a whole big thing. So I had that pressure on me. But ultimately, what you want to say to people are, we're actors. We don't just, I don't just do Jerry. I don't just do whatever, you know. So this was a way to, like we had 2 weeks ago, we had 350 people at a screening in LA. And it was agents and managers and buyers and some Kickstarter people. And you know, and it's a compliment, but you want to smack them afterwards when they go, damn, we've never seen you do anything like that. Well, give me the chance. Yeah. You know, we're actors. We do. I can do emotional stuff. I can do funny stuff. And I love comedy. I'm not a guy. I mean, comedy has paid my bills for a lot of years, so I'm not at all negative on comedy. But
you're excited to do. You can do
you, you want to say, look, I can also cry and I can, you know, kill people.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And that might happen after tonight's show. I don't know. We'll see.
you had to make that face to make sure they knew you were kidding. That's awesome, though. So and after the festival, are you guys...
So it's called Middleman. It'll be out soon because after all the festivals, we still have Austin, Denver, Chicago, Whistler in Canada. Right now, it's at Edmonton in Canada. And then we're going to decide who gets it, and then it'll be out there.
That's
so
awesome.
Keep in mind Middleman. And
they can... I think there's a Facebook page, right? People can follow
Facebook
page,
Twitter,
Middleman,
all that good stuff that you... All the stuff you youngins do.
That's so
you
cool.
Young kids... Yeah.
I'm really excited to see it. I hope that we can.
Yeah, I'm really. It was tough for me to see it first because it's tough to see yourself for an hour and 42 minutes, you know, just up there because I'm too good looking. And that has been my curse. And can we all agree? Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. No, but it's weird to see yourself up there for so long.
Yeah.
But now I've seen it and now I can get past that and appreciate it's a really good film. It's just a good film.
That's awesome. I was like, we were talking earlier and I was like, you know, if you need help putting a screening together, I just want to see it. That's it.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure out.
It'll be out there. It'll be out there. I promise.
That's awesome. And so in other periods or any other like big things coming up that you can, talk about?
Well, the Lucky Logan thing I just did. Oh God. Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. Halloween. I did this thing called Halloween. It's a stoner Halloween film that comes out. And I think next week you can get
iTunes,
it
VOD or
all over, like where you can download it, but I saw it. It's totally a stoner Halloween film. I play the mayor of a town and I won't give you too much more, but it's check it out. Yeah, that's very fun. I'm embarrassed to tell you I've done so much over the past year that I've forgotten some stuff, but that's just because I'm old.
That's a good problem to have, Jim.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah.
So much that I can't even tell you what it is.
No, I'm not saying no because like I did a Lifetime movie, I did a Hallmark movie.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. No. Love it.
Is there anything like that you're dying to do? Like, is there any dream role?
Oh wow, I would love to be on a series. You know, a television drama. I think that would be great to do that. I would do a sitcom again in a heartbeat because they're awesome. And I got, you know, I've been doing mostly film stuff. So when I did Brooklyn Nine-Nine, it brought me back to the Parks days. Because number one, Andy Samberg is awesome.
He did a couple episodes of Parks.
Andy did
too.
Some Parks. He did my first episode about me. Yeah. He was the loud talking, the guy in the park.
Always had me as an outside kid.
Yes, and he's the one who found the video of me eating the burrito in the river. So,
interesting.
Yeah. So he's just a great guy. I did a bit with him on the Emmys last year. He was hosting it, and he did a parody of Mad Men where they sing "I'd like to teach the world to sing," and he goes, "I'd like to give the world an Emmy." So he tosses me one, and it goes into my heart. It literally crushes my chest and goes into my heart. Yeah. So. Andy's a great guy, and Andre Brower's on the show, who I had never met. Wow, was he awesome! So,
That's cool.
It brought me back to that feeling of family again on a set, and I could see going back to a series. I think I would love it.
Well, Chelsea Peretti used to write for Parks. Chelsea Peretti, which is crazy,
who's on Brooklyn, was one of our writers. Yeah.
Awesome. I love that character, Gina. She's so crazy.
Yeah, so funny.
Sorry, this is actually really informal. How long have we been going, Jonathan or Steven? Does anyone know what time it is?
It's 9:25.
Wow. All right. So I feel like I've probably asked enough questions of myself. I don't want to hog all of it. So I think I'd love to open it up to you guys.
Only have 5 minutes.
In 5 minutes, I'll open it up to you guys.
Okay, we'll ramble through. Does anybody have questions?
Well, wait. We're gonna open it up to the floor in 5 minutes? Okay.
No. We only have 5 minutes. Oh, take a 5-minute break and then answer. Oh, I got worried we only had five.
Can we keep talking or do we have to? The recorder's gonna die, so we're gonna wrap it up now. Do you have a good line to end the podcast? Bye.
Well, no, but I still want to answer their questions.
Yeah, no, we're going to. Yeah, we're going to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry.
No.
We just ended on clapping. That sounds good.
Yeah, that's a good way to end. I don't know. What do we want to do? We want to make out like Aubrey and I did.
I mean, my husband's right there, so I'm sure he would love it.
Well, her husband's here. You know how that goes.
I would see that. I would watch
Steven,
that.
Steven.
Actually, you know what? I'll have you do a. Okay. All right. This is what we're gonna do, guys.
Oh, boy.
You're gonna clap. I'll say clap, and it's like, oh, this is like the best show I've ever seen. Oh my god, I'm gonna listen to this podcast forever. It's gonna
pretend
so
you're
great.
Actors.
Act really well, yeah. And then I'll have you, Jim. I'll have you say, "This is Jim O'Hare, and you are listening to Super Hungry, the podcast."
I can do that.
All right, guys. So I'm going to give you like a 3-2-1 countdown, but I'm going to 3-2-1, and then I'm going to point. So when I point, that's when you clap. Ready? All right. 3-2-1.
This is Jim O'Hare, and you are listening to this Super Hungry podcast.
Woo! All right.
Yay.